I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, Scott Mitchell, Alex Curie, and of course, Jeremiah Jensen from KSL TV joins us in this segment. You know who's impressing me right now?
Who?
Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert looks, he looks different.
Looks like mid-season form tonight.
You mean the hair of Rudy Gobert?
No, the hair threw
like
me off originally.
Awesome.
But it was really, I mean, it's like, I saw him do a couple of moves where he had the ball in space, you know, because he's really comfortable around the rim. But he's really
got to put the ball down once.
And it was like, whoa, Gobert actually moved somewhat fluid and athletic.
Is that an Olympics thing? Like he got like a little bit of juice there, like of, oh, no, you really are not just a decent defender, like the best defender in the world. You're one of the better basketball players on the entire planet.
Yeah, absolutely. What he did in the summer with that team helps his confidence tremendously, and I think he gained some skill work from it. They obviously do things differently. Team France, they do things differently in FIBA basketball, but that's good. I think it's enhanced his game, and I think you're seeing that a little bit. There was also a point where he made this nice little pass down low to Royce O'Neal for a reverse layup, and that's another thing in his game that I'd like to see more of, his passing ability.
Yes.
So I think that was also enhanced this summer as well.
Trent Forrest hit his head on the floor.
Did they
just say this guy's going into, I mean, went to the locker room, probably concussion protocol?
I'm sure
protocol.
He's in concussion protocol, but, you know, there's no official word. Watching some, have you ever hit your head on the floor in a basketball
that's
game?
That's the only thing that I look at and go, okay, that's why basketball, you could get harder hits, so to speak, than you can in football, because of that exact
worst
thing.
Injuries I've ever had in my life are from basketball.
Elbows to the head.
Yeah. I broke a leg playing basketball.
Yeah. My heavens. So hopefully he'll be
I don't know how those guys make it through the season.
It's physical.
That it doesn't happen once a game, that somebody doesn't hit their head that hard once a game is pretty wild.
Yeah.
Okay, insane weekend. Let's start, though, with the news tonight of John Gruden's resignation as the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. That mixes everything up in the NFL. The NFL responding to those reports that the New York Times initially rolled out with of the homophobic, racially insensitive, where to start, all of the bad things you can't do, misogynistic, in all these emails from 10, 11 years ago when he was an ESPN analyst. At some point, I mean, do you think they ever looked and said, well, it's from 10, 12 years ago, he's a head coach now and he doesn't do those things now, or is it just it got to be too big and they couldn't get away from it?
Here's the thing. I read the report. I read what he said. I can't say it on the radio.
And more emails, I guess, keep coming out.
It's a lot. And it was a lot of it was sent to a friend who worked for the Washington organization. There were also, like, the CEO of Hooters was involved in this. Just nasty emails he's sending back and forth. A lot of it was that. But there was also a lot of this homophobic and misogynistic and even racist stuff that was being sent around here. And if somebody's criticizing, well, why is he getting punished and canceled because something he said in 2011? Who's in his locker room?
The very first openly gay player in the history of the NFL.
And 70% of his team is probably
African-American,
black.
Yes.
You can't go back in that locker room with any kind of respect once you learn that your head coach talks like that and acts like that.
You had a couple guys who said, oh, yeah, it doesn't matter that much. And the other guys who said, I don't want to comment about it.
You pull the curtain back and you realize what's really going on, right? And you have no choice but for him to resign. He can no longer be the head coach of an NFL organization and have any command over a locker room after it's found that he said anything like that, whether it was yesterday or 20 years ago. I'm sorry.
What'd they say they're going to do short term then?
They've got they have an assistant that's going to take over the interim. I forget his name right now. It's probably somebody you've never heard of.
So
the Raiders are back looking for another coach next year.
Well, and it's insane to think, too, that this was like his best year that he had had, his best start that he had had since he'd been had been to Las Vegas.
Notice the difference in that team this week than in the previous 3 weeks?
Yeah, 4 weeks. Yeah. To say it doesn't affect the locker room, at the very least, the distraction, but at the at the very worst, probably what it was for a lot of these players, which was hard to swallow that their coach had said all this stuff.
I just want to go back to it for just one second. Don't you think, though, the players, like, because you're around these players a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you travel to games. You have training camp.
You have one-on-ones with them.
The hours are long and grueling. You know your head coach. Like, I think of the head coaches I played for, and I spent a lot of time around him, and all the players do. And you develop a certain kind of relationship with that coach. Don't you think the players, though, kind of know who the coach is? And so they can kind of make that judgment for themselves? I'm just telling you, I know what an NFL locker room's like, okay? And it's weird because in the locker room, it's very racially divided. It is. You go to lunch and players sit by their race. Now there are things you say in the locker room to each other that would have everybody fired, no matter what your race is.
You think
that's
still going on in 2021?
I don't know. I haven't been in a locker room in recent years. I'm just asking the question. I don't know. I would just think you would probably say, look, I know this guy. I understand these things, but I don't want to say look past it, but maybe potentially I could get over it.
Even if the players can get over it, can the organization's perception among its fan base and in the community where it's at overcome that? Can the league itself overcome that and tolerate that? Absolutely not. So I think it's not just the players in the locker room, but just the organization in the community where it is and the NFL as a whole cannot have somebody who is carries himself like that and says those kind of things, representing. Look, it's the head coach.
But what about Dan Snyder, who basically had similar emails?
So here
he's
come.
The owner of the Washington football team, and nothing happens to the guy.
Here's the hypocrisy. We haven't seen a peep, right? Those emails that he was probably involved in, things he's done.
Massive investigation, by the way.
Haven't been leaked to the media.
Right.
Notice that the NFL leaked this stuff to the media. Where do you think it came from? This is part of an NFL investigation. They got these emails while they were investigating the Washington football team. You don't think they have things from the Washington football team on that owner? Of course they do. Why are they not divulging that? Well, because he's an owner.
Yeah, it's very different.
Because
he pays the salary of Roger
Goodell. He's Roger Goodell's boss. John Gruden is not.
Yeah. All right. What surprised you more this weekend?
Like Gruden better than they like Goodell.
Yeah, that's true. But they don't. But he's the one making the decisions. I mean, he's the one making $50 million a year.
Goodell didn't say the things he did in emails sent to buddies. That's a
bad situation. JJ, what surprised you the most this weekend? That the Utah Utes absolutely blew out the USC Trojans, or that BYU lost to Boise State in the way they did?
BYU's loss. I expected Utah to go down there and win. I thought they would be highly motivated. I think they were galvanized. They had a bye week.
They really were.
And USC is not
that great.
Great. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Utah. Bulldozed
it. It was 42-10 at the end of three,
Utah played great.
Man.
Utah probably would have beat Oregon this week, I'm telling you. Utah played great. Best I've seen them play since 2019. But USC is just not what they are, let's be honest. BYU lost that game because they coughed the ball up three times in the red zone on either side, right? They gave Boise State two touchdowns, and then they had a chance to go get a touchdown, and they coughed it up.
Yep. We talked to Jaron tonight, and he said, look, the team moved straight forward. They had a positive message. They were bummed about it, but they have a lot of goals that they still feel like they can achieve all of them. Get to New York 6. Is a New York 6 bowl game still available for BYU if they went out from here?
New York?
It's going to be
Year's. A New Year's, not a New
Year's. I trip up with that, too.
If you want to go to New York
for
your
New
Year's
6. It's
going to be tough, guys. It's going to be really tough because unless Cincinnati moves up and gets that playoff spot, Cincinnati's going to get that slot.
Well, and everybody else keeps losing.
There's going to be a Big Ten team. There's going to be an SEC team.
There's going to be a two-loss SEC team in the college football playoff.
The Pac-12 champ is going to sneak in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's only so many slots.
If it's Oregon.
That's why BYU's margin of error was so thin.
Yeah.
Is because they had to run the table to get that spot. I really do believe that. And the difficulty of their schedule just doesn't allow that to be able to make up to be allow them to be able to make up for that.
Okay, a week of preparation. ASU coming now to
Big
Salt Lake City
Saturday.
This weekend suddenly becomes the biggest game in the Pac-12. This
only
year.
Two teams in
Those
the Pac-12 that
are
undefeated in conference
teams.
Play.
Crazy, right?
It's insane.
Jazz up 76-51. You can tune into that on 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Jazz Sports Network. And the Zone Sports Network, man, it's crazy. They're up 25 right now
on the
Pelicans.
Looking good. I know it's preseason, but.
Yeah, looking really good. JJ, what's on TV tonight?
Well, we have Jazz highlights. Also, Haloti Ngata honored tonight in a big way. You don't want to miss that. It's awesome. And we've got baseball playoffs. and a golf team from Utah did something really special this weekend.
Holy cow. You're blessed with too many riches of sports highlights tonight.
I wish I had 5 minutes.
We'll take the break there. Thanks for hanging out, man.
We appreciate it.
News, traffic, weather now, NFL Roundup, and the 2-Minute Drill. Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.